In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
S praznikom.
Joyous
feast to all of you. Today we celebrate our the feast of our patron saint, Saint Maximus, the great fathers of the Church. Suffered much for his confession of the faith, not at the hands of pagans, not at the hands of the Jews or the Muslims or such, but the hands of his own countrymen, at the hands of those who are of the Church and in the Church. And his life is instructive for us, because as Jesus warns us in that Olivet Discourse, which he read the very first part of from Mark, that a time will come when great tribulation will come, the earthquakes, the famines, the troubles, the wars are only birth pangs or beginning of that. But there will come a time when Christians will be subjected to great tribulation and great persecution. And like St. Maximus, we will have a choice whether we will continue to hold steadfast to our faith, whether we will persevere in it, or whether we will fall away, whether we will, for the sake of saving our lives and our health, whether we will compromise or deny Christ. And so from St. Maximus' life, we can learn something about how we do this, as well as from the Holy Scriptures. Maximus lived at a time when there was compromise in the Church, compromise over the issue of who Christ was, because he would not go along with the compromisers who wanted compromise for the sake of external peace and for political reasons. He was persecuted, and in the end he had his hand cut off and his right hand cut off and his tongue cut out, so that he could not bear witness anymore to the truth. About 15 to 18 years after his death, his position was vindicated at the Sixth Ecumenical Council in the year 680, but he died without seeing that complete victory. But how do we keep the faith? How do we stand when we're being asked to deny Christ, like the martyrs, when we're brought before the tribunal and they show us the instruments of torture, the fire, the pincers, the knives, and say, here, you can either deny Christ, you can either offer incense to the idols, you can spit on this image of Christ and trample on it, or you get this. And they show you the instruments of torture. How do we stand if we're faced with such a dilemma? In Revelation 12:11, as John sees the great crowd of martyrs clothed in white, this witness is born of them, that they overcame him. They overcame the devil and his temptations by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. First, by the blood of the Lamb, Christ's blood that cleanses us from sin, that sin which enervates us, which deprives us of strength, which makes us prone to compromise. So we're experiencing that cleansing power. The traitor in us is washed away so that we can stand. By the word of their testimony, because they have confessed him publicly, they bore witness. They were not ashamed to identify themselves with Christ when push came to shove. There can be a time for being a secret Christian. Several years ago, we baptized a Muslim woman here who came from Palestine, whose family was Muslim. She'd want to be a Christian all her life. He baptized her, and she had to go home, and she expected to live a secret Christian life because she'd be persecuted, perhaps even put to death, if her family discovered she was a Christian. But as I told her, at some point, you may have to confess Christ publicly. If they ask, we cannot deny. We have to confess Christ. And so that word of testimony, you know, is something all of us have to be prepared to give. And then this last bit, they love not their lives unto the death. much like Patrick Henry giving his great speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." Patrick Henry understood this same principle, which is a Christian principle. There's life so dear, peace so sweet, is to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. For him, it was a matter of political freedom and also individual freedom to be able to pursue, work out his life, guided by himself and his countrymen rather than some foreign power. But the slave who has a craven or a slave mentality is one who wants peace and comfort at any cost. He wants his 3 square meals a day. He wants his MTV. Who wants his comfort and entertainment and security. In fact, David in Psalm 50, he talks about a free spirit or a princely spirit. This is in contrast, in that great psalm of repentance, in contrast with the spirit of a slave, of a craven spirit, a person who's dominated by his passions and enslaved to them. And uphold me with thy princely or free spirit, we pray. A spirit worthy of a free man made in God's image, whose body is controlled by his soul and mind, and who, by the soul and mind illumined by God, seeks to do God's will in all things. But if we're a slave of the passions, a slave of the body, if we love the body and its comforts and serve the body, we set ourselves up for a fall when we're put to the test. We love our... Instead of being like the martyrs who love not their lives unto death, we become those who love our lives over death. We'll do anything we can to spare our body any pain or temporary pain or suffering or death so that we can go on living a little short time longer. You remember the story of the 40 martyrs of Sebaste, those Roman soldiers who were asked to deny Christ and they refused. Their commander, a pagan, sent them out onto the ice of the lake to freeze to death, stripped them naked and sent them out on the ice. And then to tempt them, he built a bathhouse, kindled a fire and heated it up and tried to entice them to come in and deny Christ. And at one point, one of the soldiers did. He gave up. He wanted to get warm. He decided it wasn't worth it. So he left the lake and came to the bathhouse. And according to the life, the shock was too much for him and he died. So not only did he lose his martyr's crown, the glorious crown of martyrdom, he also lost the earthly life that he tried to preserve. And this is the folly of being in love with our bodies and in being in love with life in this world, is that when push comes to shove and we're put to the test, we will decide in favor of preserving our physical existence a little longer rather than for Christ. And so the gospel that goes for a confessor, that goes with St. Maximus, Jesus says, "Whoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." We have to be willing when that moment comes to confess Christ, to identify ourselves with him, to say, "Yes, I am his. Yes, I am a Christian. Do what you want with me. My body's not my own. My life is not my own. It's all from God. And God will restore it to me in the end. But if you want to do injustice, if you want to kill me, what can I do? I'm not going to deny him." As St. Polycarp said, when at 86 years old, when they came for him, the soldiers came to haul him away to be burned. They asked him, "Father, pity your gray hairs. Why subject yourself to this torture by, retaining this adherence to Christ? Just deny him and you can end your years in peace." Polycarp's famous answer was, "I have served Christ for 86 years and he has done me no wrong. Why should I deny him now? How could I deny him now?" And of course, he knew he had but a few little time left to his earthly life. Being able to see eternity, the short temporary suffering is more than worth the eternal life in Christ and in the glory of God. And so Jesus promises that if we confess Christ before men, the Son of Man, Jesus, will confess us before the angels of God. But he that denieth me, he that denieth Christ before men, shall be denied before the angels of God. And so, if we want to be confessed as belonging to Christ before the angels by God himself, God saying, he is mine, she is mine, I'm pleased with these my servants, we need to hold our confession. And how do we do this? St. Maximus gives the example, as many other saints do, of one who did not love his life unto death. He was not martyred directly, but because of the punishment they inflicted on him, he died shortly after his third trial and the severing of his tongue and hand. But it's a matter of not loving this life, not loving our body, not pampering it, but recognizing that our true life is in Christ. And as we cling to him, even if we lose our life in this world, he restores it to us in the resurrection. And a glorious crown awaits us, a crown of martyrdom. Those 40 martyrs of Sebaste, when they were out on the lake, one of the Roman soldiers watching from the shore saw 40 crowns, 40 martyrs' crowns descending from heaven over their heads. And when the one soldier ran in to try to save his life, he was so inspired and was concerned as the soldier singing, as their hymn faltered, as they saw one of their number give up. He was so inspired that he went out and joined them. He wanted that crown for himself, and even though he wasn't formally a Christian, he identified himself with Christ at that decisive moment. And he joined them and took the traitor's place and earned that crown with the other 39 faithful. And so, as we consider the life of our patron, St. Maximus, he was faithful in the face of torture, in the face of threats, in the face of great peer pressure by his own people, the people of his own tongue, the people of his own church, his own bishops, his own emperor. Yet he stood against them, and he was faithful, not in a belligerent, mean-spirited sort of way, but in a bold way, full of the Holy Spirit. And they could not refute him, and so they had to silence him. But St. Maximus teaches us, as do the other fathers in the Holy Scriptures, they teach us how we can live in such a way that we're not a slave to our body, how the soul can, illumined by Christ, can be in control, and the body be the servant of the soul and not the other way around. So we're not a slave to our bodies, to our appetites, to the needs of the body. The body's not our enemy. We take care of it. It's a good servant. But it's not in control. It's not the boss. And if we live dictated to by our body, we're living a carnal life, not a spiritual life. And so St. Maximus teaches us this, as do the other fathers. His 400 chapters on love give us great instruction on how we can live this life, how we can put the body in its place, we cannot be enslaved by its desires and passions, how we can learn to truly love God and love our neighbor, because our passions keep us from loving each other. You know, if we have a passion for sleep, we don't get up in the morning, our children don't get fed, they may or may not get to school. Many necessary things that need to be done to serve others don't happen because of our slothfulness, because of our passion for sleep. As the proverb says I read this morning, you know, he who loves sleep, you know, will not be rich. And or another one says, love not sleep lest you come to poverty. So if that passion controls us, we will not be able to love others, and we'll not be able to love God. We won't get up to come to church on Sunday morning. We won't despair our body. We won't come to vigil because it's long and it's hard and it's makes our body uncomfortable. And that's just one example of how the passions, if they control us, they hinder our spiritual development. So as we celebrate this Feast of St. Maximus, let's ask him to pray for us. We may be renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit to subject our bodies to our souls, that we may live as free men and women made in the image of God, illumined by the light of Christ, and that we, when the hour of temptation or testing comes, that we may be found faithful, that we may be able to boldly confess Christ and not deny Him, that we will not be found among those who are faint-hearted and for the sake of a short extension of their lives in this world betray the source of eternal life. May God grant us faithfully hold to the faith and not betray it and not betray our Lord. The prayers of our Venerable Father Maximus, Lord Jesus Christ, God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.